You are about to listen to episode 25 of Musically Meditated with your host, Joe Riley. A little bit of housekeeping. If you're listening to Musically Meditated on Musically Meditated's iTunes page, please subscribe. Please tell a friend. Please leave a 5-star rating. Please leave a short review. Whatever else you're listening on, if there is a rating system or a subscription, please subscribe. Thank you for your continued support. The second thing is, I was asked not to swear on this episode. It turns out, I swore quite a bit, so I had to edit out my swearing. Everybody else on the show probably swore, but not me. Hope it's not too distracting. Now on to the show. Thank you so much.
Musically Meditated.
Musically Meditated.
Musically Meditated.
Well, welcome to Musically Meditated episode 25, 25 and Alive tonight. I'm your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster. It's been a minute since I've done a review or talked specifically about a album or albums. The last time I did that, it was episode 10. You know, so for any new listeners out there, if you've missed those early episodes, go back and check it out. Episode 10 was really good. I went over my favorite hip-hop album of the year, 2017, by Tyler, the Creator, which was Flower Boy. Sorry, not sorry to all the Kendrick Lamar lovers out there. I like Kendrick, but
get over it.
Tyler's album was better.
I'm going to try a new thing this week where I'm going to be very feisty.
Okay.
So, not towards you, but...
Piss and vinegar?
Yeah, just in general.
Apple cider vinegar? Right on.
Apple cider vinegar.
And I talked about Glassjaw. I love Glassjaw, and it was their first album they released in 15 years. So, go back to episode 10. Check it out. It's been a minute. We've had a lot of nice guests thus far. And, I don't know, we've explored a lot of different avenues, and it's been a lot of fun. But
What are we still missing? Because we hit country. We hit singer-songwriter.
We haven't hit jazz yet.
No.
Jazz is like the only one, the only genre.
Sexy R&B?
Well, we kind of touched on some sexy R&B with Kyle. Remember, we went through our favorite, our favorite female musical artist.
That's right.
So check that episode out, too. I forget what number it is.
Kyle.
But yeah, we touched a little R&B. I mean, everybody likes a little R&B, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta put the candle on for your old lady sometimes and sweet talk her. Is that what you do?
Every single night.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, so this is the first album review in a while, and I want to get into rock and roll and just keep it basic and just call it rock. I'll talk about these genres when I mention the bands, and the main reason I want to do that is because I feel like rock and roll doesn't really get a lot of love anymore, especially from a commercial standpoint. And Kurt Cobain's whatever reunion of his death was just on April 4th. Sometimes I sit and wonder and think, like, is there ever going to be another Kurt Cobain as far as like the popularity of rock and how he blew up and how Nirvana was so huge. Like, I don't think rock's dead, but I do get a lot of people like, oh, there's no good heavy music anymore. There's no good rock and roll, this and that. And there is, you just have to explore. And a lot of people don't have the time. But Sretton, do you think there'll be another rock star like a Kurt Cobain that like literally changed everything, like from fashion to being able to scream on the radio to everything? I mean, Kurt Cobain was such a game changer.
Like, I think it's inevitable. I think every couple years or so, somebody comes around that you think in certain genre, maybe not rock, but somebody comes around and you're like, this guy might do something like that. I know I'm going to use the word hyperbolic in the wrong way, but when Father John Misty came out, there were a lot of fans of his that were talking about, this guy is the next guy. But his music's not groundbreaking. It's super lyrical. It's super deep. It's super sarcastic and cynical, which I do not like. I don't like cynicism in anything, but
Kurt was pretty cynical.
Yeah, so I mean, sounded better than like Father John Misty's to me. But I know a lot of Father John Misty fans. So there's bound to be somebody out there. I think every generation there's somebody out there. Or sometimes we get lucky enough that there's more than one.
Right.
Don't ask me to name any.
Or more specific.
Because I'll just end up saying Elvis.
Like a huge rock. Well, yeah, Elvis and the Beatles, and that's a whole other thing. But a huge rock band and a rock star figure like a Kurt. Like, what I'm getting at is rock dead in a commercial sense?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not at all.
Because think about it. I think a big thing is MTV doesn't show videos anymore. I know when I was growing up, like, MTV showed, obviously, all kinds of videos. And that helped to the success of Nirvana and grunge and changing everything. Now you don't have that. You know, everything.
What is on? I don't even know what's on MTV anymore.
I have no idea.
I haven't turned on MTV in 5 or 6 years at least.
Because if you do social media, like social media hypes a lot of music,
mm-hmm.
okay, and a lot of it is steering towards hip hop, and I love hip hop, but I think there's a lot of oversaturation with garbage hip hop too.
There's a lot of garbage hip hop. There's a lot of garbage rock. There's a lot of garbage every genre.
Right.
We talked about it before. We're in a particularly, I believe, awesome time for music. Like amazing time for music. We talked about if you hit up, so we're in Hobart, right? And there's a lot of local bands that like a lot of different things. It's not just one, like, oh, for some reason everybody's in a punk band. Like when we talked to Gabe, at that time, as I understand it, when he started doing his band and he was doing that stuff, there were a lot of punk bands in the area. Now there's a lot of hip hop bands. There's a lot of like straight up. What was the guy when you first started? There was that one band that you say your pops was obsessed with that sounded like Led Zeppelin. Oh, and they were like 18-year-old kids.
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet. They're blowing up right now too.
Yeah. So I mean, think about that. Yeah, you got like a band like that. But in every genre, there's at least 100 bands globally that are tapping into that thing. So it's just that because of that, it's the same thing with what we're doing, like the podcast stuff. It's oversaturated, but there's good ones and there's bad ones. And then whatever you're interested in, like whatever that little thing is, you can find somebody to talk about that as far as podcasts go. But it's the same
poo-poo
with music. You like a particularly specific thing, there's a good chance that going through YouTube, Spotify, whatever, that you're going to find a band that resonates with you. I think it's an awesome time for music. I don't even think I answered your question.
I think you did. You did. You did.
You just didn't ask me if I had any specifics, and yeah, I do not.
Specifics. Yeah, I just, you're saying there will be another rock superstar like Kurt Cobain.
Oh, yeah. I actually think there's going to be, at some point soon.
Like a game changer.
I think there's going to be more than one. I think there's going to be like three or four. And I don't know if you remember the 80s, like We Are the World, We Are the Children, remember that?
Poo-poo! Yeah.
Where they had all those like superstars within like a 30-year gap of like the
poo-poo
of every genre. You got Michael Jackson standing next to, what's his name, Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
he was super thrilled
badass.
About it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you had that going on. You had like Willie Nelson standing next to
Cher.
Cher, yeah, what the?
Make love!
Right. yeah, so that's happening again, that 80s.
I think it's
going
to happen, but what I don't think will happen is I think it's going to be a very, very long time before we get somebody that like makes people nuts. From a pop star. I think pop music has been so... pop music is the least flexible of all the genres, in my opinion. If you're a pop star, you need to look a certain way. You need to do a certain thing. There's only a few. For some reason, Bruno Mars really impresses me.
I like Bruno.
And it's just because his music is cool. He's always experimenting a little bit. But he's like back in the day, like in the 80s, they had the performers. They had those guys where you saw them perform. That's why if you've ever seen that last documentary that Michael Jackson did.
No, I missed that.
It was like he died, right? Either while they were doing it or, you know, I think it's called This Is It.
Buzzkill, threatened Buzzkill.
No. But you watch him and he's like past his heyday, but you watch him doing his like dance moves and his perfectionism. And even though he was all doped up, like you saw the Michael Jackson aura. You were like,
yeah.
Holy
no, Michael,
shit, this
yeah,
guy
Jack
is a great.
Yeah.
And you know. They're coming. They'll be there again.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Was that my 35-minute answer? God.
Fair enough.
Don't ask me any more
questions. No, it was great. It was great. Another thing, too, we've been really bad at self-promotion, so I'm going to do a little self-promotion spiel here. To all the listeners, thank you for listening so far, and I have one favor to ask you. Just share it and talk about it with anybody else that you know. Our listeners, it's growing. The fan base, whatever you want to call it, is growing. But to the loyal ones that were there from day one, I appreciate it. But, you know, please share this. You know, share the YouTube link. Like it on Facebook. You know,
Subscribe. Get on YouTube and subscribe.
Subscribe on YouTube. I'm still a part of the Green Door, and I'm thankful for that, and I always want to be. But Sreten was able to put Musically Meditated available on all podcast apps.
Yeah.
So you could just search the term Musically Meditated on Stitcher, on iTunes. It's available. So
two things are cool. So if you get on iTunes, because that's the one that most people use, look up Musically Meditated. Like you said, you'll always be a part of Green Door Network.
And it will always, it's always going to be on there. Right.
But we're trying to grow it as its own, like, we're trying to grow Musically Meditated.
Right.
So if you get on iTunes specifically, make sure you subscribe, make sure you give a 5-star rating, and make sure you leave it a little review. Their algorithm looks at all that stuff, and it pushes your show up to the top so more people can see it and hear it. So do that with YouTube. Do it with all of them.
Do it with all of them, please.
It's been awesome so far.
And if you think I suck and you don't like my reviews and you don't like my opinions, just tell me. I mean, we need more interaction in the comments, whatever. You know, you could...
You're super accessible.
Yeah, very. I mean, you can email me at musicallymeditated@gmail.com. You could send me... I'm on Instagram the most. You could DM me. You could slide right into those DMs.
And
no dick pics, though. All right, guys? You could also, you know...
That was very serious.
Like it, right? But I'm joking. But yeah, Facebook, like it, share it. Just help out. Get the word out there. I'd really, really appreciate it. So, and another thing that I'm going to do too is when I'm doing these reviews and I've been getting feedback, even with a lot of the interviews, the music that we're talking about, I need to start making a playlist because not everybody knows all the weird shit I like or that the guest likes or whatever. So with this tonight, the bands that I'm talking about and the songs, I'm going to have a playlist available on Spotify. That link will be shared in the description on YouTube, on iTunes, on all that stuff. Sretton will put it in there. And then I'll have another one available on YouTube.
Right.
Because everybody can go on YouTube. So there'll be two different links. So check out the stuff I'm talking about and get back to me. Let me know if you like it. Let me know if you hate it. You know, and just remember, this is just my opinion. I'm nothing special, but I like to share music with others that I really enjoy. So, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. This is just all opinion based. So please, more interaction, check it out and tell everybody. We also, you know, there's going to be merchandise coming up and all kinds of stuff. So
yeah, it's really exciting.
We're excited. We're excited.
Real excited.
Real, real excited.
Deep voice contest. Real excited.
There you go. So talking about rock and roll, is it dead? No, I don't think it's dead. There's been a few albums that came out. The ones I'm talking about, I won't get into that too much, but the first band is Citizen, and this album, As You Please, came out the last quarter of 2017. I believe it was October. And I wanted to talk about this a while ago, but we've had so many guests, I haven't been able to get there. And not only that, they just released a live at Studio 4, it's called. It's about four or five songs of live session with songs from As You Please, the record, and it's phenomenal. So I'm kind of combining those two. So please check out the Live at Studio 4 by Citizen, the band, and As You Please. And the best way I could describe their music, they're a straight-up rock band, but they have a 90s little touch to them, some emotional lyrics. When I look at the lyrical content, I think most of it has to do with maybe a relationship or moving on, you know, either like a breakup or a relationship, being in love, falling out of love. So that's the lyrical content. There's definitely some indie, you know, there's some indie rock behind this. I don't know. So if you like those things, it's really hard for me to compare these guys to anyone. I showed it to another friend. They said that the singer sounds a little bit like the dude from Silver Sun Pickups. He kind of has a higher pitch voice, but I think he has an amazing voice, and it really shows at that live at Studio 4.
I like his voice. No knock against the guy that's the singer for Silver Sun Pickups. I'm not too crazy about his voice.
You think that's a bad comparison? Because somebody said that, because I was like, yes and
I don't know.
No. I mean, that guy's very feminine sounding. Like,
for some reason, because somebody turned me on to them like 5 or 6 years ago, said you have to listen to these guys, and mostly because of his vocals. I couldn't get into it. I don't know what it was. I like odd vocals.
Yeah, vocals, either like you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
So you do like this guy's look?
I do.
His vocals.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, I'm just putting out Silver Sun Pickup, so people that have never listened or have heard of Citizen, that's kind of where, I mean, not 100%.
I like his voice.
But his voice is cool, and they're really original. They're all Midwest dudes. Half of them are from Ohio. The other half's from Michigan. The singer as well, like he's like a workout guy. He has like his own gym videos. He's spoken on podcasts about, you know, his diet. And, you know, he's a stocky dude. Like, you really wouldn't expect it when you heard him singing. But then when you see him live, you're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, seems like a pretty decent guy. Sretton, what did you think about that whole album? Did you listen?
I listened to the whole thing. Okay. You sent it to me the first time. I don't even know what it was, like a month ago, maybe longer. And I listened to it while I was doing stuff at work. And it was just really easy to listen to. I listened to the whole thing, and I didn't know it was already done. Because work got crazy. And then last week, you resent it to me, and you were like, here, give it another listen. And I do like it. You frequently send me stuff, I think, to test my palate or something, like to just test me. And you send me some nutty poo-poo to see how I like it.
But this isn't nutty.
No, this is really chill. Easy to take in.
Yeah, it's a pill you can digest.
Yeah,
pretty easily for sure. Yeah,
you could sit and listen to it like in your car and like enjoy the whole thing.
Yeah,
you don't have to like you don't have to jump around. I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's just solid rock.
Solid rock. This isn't something you listen to in the morning to get pumped up before work or at the gym. This is more of like laid back. You know, maybe a cocktail, the candles on, you're just chilling, or you're stuck in traffic and you're trying to chill out, or you could go to bed to this, you know, because it starts off, Jet's the first track that's kind of heavier, but it's not that heavy. And then the second track is in the middle of it all. That's my favorite track on the album. And then after that, it tapers off and it's just really, really mellow, you know. And these guys, this is their third album. And I think a third album is important for the progression of a band. It could really make you or break you. You know, like your third album is what shines, and it kind of lets the fan know what direction you're going in. And I really like the direction that they went.
Based on your musical knowledge, when does a band start to experiment? You know how like most bands do something? Is it the third or after the third where they like say, let's test the waters and see either if our fans will follow us, or to just do one album where we spend 1 year doing something that's not what we did before and we might pop back into it, but we just need something different?
Third.
About third?
Yeah, that's where all the great ones make a change. I mean, just from what I've been listening to throughout the years, you know, like your third album, traditionally, like second, you can tell a lot of bands are messing with their flavor, you know, and their recipe a little bit. Because the first time I heard of these guys, it was on just a Spotify rotation. You know, you listen to one band and it finds others. And at the time I was listening to like Touche Amore and Pianos Become the Teeth. You know, these guys are like the third wave of post-hardcore, technically. Like there's like a group of bands that are clumped in there.
Right.
And Youth, which was their first album, popped up a lot. And like it says Youth and Flowers, and it caught my eye. There was a couple tracks, and I liked it on my Spotify, but I didn't really give them my undivided attention. And then they came out with their second album, and that's called Everybody is Going to Heaven. And it had like a really neat album cover. I believe it's the singer's eyes, but it's just like a strip. It just stuck out. I thought it was a neat piece, you know, like a piece of art. And I know that was like the number one rock album vinyl selling record. Like they actually tracked that.
Yeah.
The year it came out, I think this was like 2015, something like that.
What's crazy to me is the different formats that you listen to music and what is number one for those. So you figure deeper music, because I've never heard of them. And they were the number one, you said 2015, number one selling vinyl album.
Well, in the rock genre.
In the rock genre. But to get that and specific. Like
independent, I mean, don't quote me on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but that's what I read.
But my point is, like, that's another reason when you ask me about the rock thing. There's so many people that like specific things, and they like to listen to them in specific ways. So there's, let's say 30 years ago, when you had, you started to get CDs, you already had cassettes, you had vinyl, you had the radio, you had all that stuff. If you picked all five of those, like vinyl, cassettes, the radio, the number one guy or girl or band was on all of those.
Right.
But now, because of the way you can get real particular, it's also a lot tougher, as everybody knows, for bands to actually like make a living because of how awesome it is for like us as listeners. We can be picky as hell. I guess my point is like that whole vinyl thing, that shows that people are out there, people are looking for what they particularly like, and enough of them liked it that, you know, different bands are number one in different genres and subgenres and different ways to listen. So there might be a number one vinyl band. Like people enjoy this rock band for vinyl, but they might, like, I don't know anybody that listens to tapes anymore, but they might look for something else.
I'm on that hipster tip. I have some tapes. It's definitely a new hipster thing. Like they're back. I mean,
I was a big tape guy. You had to pull my teeth to get me from tape to CD. I never got into CDs. I went straight from tape to MP3, but people don't. What's the point of going back to it, dude? Like,
it's kind of nostalgic. We're getting off track, but that's okay. I remember back in the day, if you had a sound system, like the bumps, you know, when everybody had 12s and 10s, remember that? If you wanted a thicker, nice sound, tapes always were better. Like for beats, you know, because it's analog and it's tape and it's lo-fi and
I didn't know
all
that.
It and just then, always had a better pound to it, you know? So, yeah. Don't hate on tapes over there. But so back to these guys. The second album, Everybody is Going to Heaven. I really like the guitar tone on that. Caught my ear. But when this album came out, the first listen, it was so low key and just chill. Like I was like, a little bored, but the more I listened to it, it grew on me. And the reason I'm talking about it, as far as rock goes, it's an easy listen. It's chill. You can listen to it in front of, you know, your grandma if you want to. Like, there's nothing screaming about it. I think he shouts a couple times, but it's just a really cool, relaxed album. And
it's solid rock.
It's solid rock.
I think
rock.
I already said that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's solid rock. And you got to check out Citizen. I really think they're going places, and they're actually going to be in Chicago, and I'm going to go. Hold on, let me look at my thing here. They're going to be at the Cobra Lounge June 5th. So
really?
I'm going to check that out. And they're going to be with Basement. I love Basement. I actually got to see them. I think that's how I heard. You know, I was liking Basement on Spotify, and they were popping up. They're
Have you been to
England.
Cobra Lounge?
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
I went there tail end of last summer after the Chili Peppers concert because it's right by the United
Center.
It's
tiny, right?
It's not. They expanded it, so it's bigger.
Maybe 500 people?
Oh, the music. I mean, the whole bar and everything is bigger. But the venue itself, yeah, it's small.
3 to 5?
Yeah, maybe less.
Okay.
I recall seeing a band there 5 or 6 years ago, and I don't know if 200 people could fit in there. But I might have a false memory of it. But I like it there. You can get crazy in there.
Right.
It's not that nice, the music part of it.
Okay. It's not as nice as, what was the other place that we just went to? Bottom Lounge.
No.
That place is nice.
It is kind of nice. You were saying it's too nice.
It's
not that nice. But
I want sticky floors and maybe a cheap shot, like when I'm in the crowd, like somebody accidentally hits me.
Reggie's is, yeah. Yeah.
It's in Chinatown, on the south side. It's a little grimy over there.
That's what I, you know what, that's you know? What I've heard that before, but we're like right around there, it's fine.
Well, it's one of those situations, like it's okay right there, but a block south
yeah,
or a block
true.
East, you might get shot in the face, you know, so you better be careful. Reggie's is awesome.
Yeah.
Wesley Willis picture's hung up there.
Is it really?
Yeah, we talked about him.
Yeah, we talked
about
him.
Last week with Gabe, but yeah, they have Wesley's... photo, like it's like a shrine. It's up on the wall. It's always been there.
Gabe told me to listen to him.
Right.
You told me to listen to him. I did. And because of after a follow-up, we had a conversation yesterday about the man. Mm-hmm. I am not allowed to have an opinion because he was too troubled for me to say anything.
Yeah.
But I can't believe you guys listened to that.
Things were a little bit different back then.
Yeah.
I don't promote it now. It's not nice. Yeah, he had some mental problems.
Yeah. So
for sure.
When I listened, I laughed for like maybe 5 minutes because I was stuck in traffic yesterday. I listened for a good 40 minutes and I skipped through most of that stuff. Yeah. At first I was like,
make love.
Can Gabe.
Make love.
Can Joe. No, then I was like, quickly, I was like, no, this guy's not 100% there. And some of this stuff is very creative for who he was and for the time and the beats and all that.
Yeah,
but then it was also like, you can tell that this person had very, very, very deep mental issues. And I was like, well, that's that.
Wesley Willis.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Wesley Willis. All right, let's transition into another band and an album everybody should check out. A really good, solid rock album by Quicksand. They're from New York. The album is called Interiors, and it's their first album they came out with since like 95. And a lot of times, like their older stuff's cool. Like it was a little bit before my time. You know, I got into them probably in like 99 or something, so it seemed a little bit dated. But what I'm getting at is when you take that long of a break, it usually sucks, and this album doesn't suck at all.
No, I listened to it. It doesn't suck.
I think it's really good. Now, it has a dated little feel to it. You even mentioned it earlier.
Maybe nostalgic.
Nostalgic?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be like, ooh, but no, it made me nostalgic for when that was the way that people, like that style of music was around everywhere. There's a lot of stuff that you turned me on to, and I don't have the vocabulary to explain it, but when you told me about the way the bass is played and the effects you put on it, definitely that's what I enjoyed the most about it.
Okay, you like the bass guitar?
Yeah. I like the vocals too, but that's what I liked. What I also didn't realize was that's what I liked 10, 15 more years ago. The bass was what I liked. And I went through a really strong Korn phase. And they don't sound anything like Korn.
No.
But Korn was all about the bass.
Yeah, the bass, and it would stick out. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like Korn and Metallica with Cliff Burton, they made me want to play bass.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I got a bass guitar, because it stuck out. Everything was so bassy back then, too. But if you haven't heard of Quicksand, if you like Tool, this is right up your alley. right up your alley. There's, I mean, Tools are in their own, they're on their own playing field, right? But there's like a real proggy, you know, metally thing. And if you enjoy Tool, you'll definitely enjoy Quicksand. And I hear a lot of flavors too of Fugazi in there, like the whole post-hardcore thing. Like they're definitely one of the first post-hardcore bands in the 90s, Quicksand that is. But you could really hear the Fugazi influence. And Fugazi is with Ian MacKay. He was in Minor Threat, you know. And then the other singer, they're a band that had two singers. I forget his name, but he was from Rites of Spring. And they're like the first emo, hardcore emo band ever, like in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So I hear that influence in Quicksand. And then I hear like a noisy, cool element of the guitar. I really like the guitar on this album. Like a Helmet the band. I hear that influence too, like somewhat Tool, but more just like a noisy, I don't know. There's some like really slick guitar licks on this. Really fun. And then there are three piece now. So the singer, he actually started in the New York hardcore scene. And he plays and he sings at the same time. What the hell's his name? Yeah, he was, his name's Walter. I can't pronounce his last name, but he was in Gorilla Biscuits, which is like an old school OG hardcore band, and Youth of Today. And then that band broke up, and then he started Quicksand. And here's my thing with Quicksand. I was always like, okay, they're cool. Like they stopped in 95, but Sergio Vega, the bass player that you mentioned, his bass really sticks out on this. Sergio is the one who filled in for Chi Chang, rest in peace, from the Deftones. He got in a nasty car accident and was in a coma for a couple years. Happened 10 years ago in 2008. And the Deftones at this time, too, were kind of in a dark area. They were recording a new album, but they were into drugs and divorce was going on in their camp. And Chi, the bass player, was actually going to his sister's funeral, and he was driving with his sister, and they got in a car accident, and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So then he was in a coma for a few years, and he finally lost his fight. Like I said, rest in peace to Chi. I thought the Deftones were going to stop. I'm a total Deftones fanboy. Right. I always mention them on this podcast. And Sergio filled his shoes. And I want to like thank Sergio, you know, on the podcast because I love the Deftones, but he saved them and he revitalized them, like especially during a time where, you know, they lost their brother. And then unfortunately they had to see him suffer for years. Now, there was a time like she couldn't make a certain couple shows or a few tours, and Deftones played with Quicksand in the mid-90s a few times, and Sergio filled in back then. So they always had somewhat of a relationship with him. But I'm just really glad that he entered the Deftones and saved them and revitalized them. And he was on Diamond Eyes, Koinoyoken, and Gore. He really shines on Gore, their most recent release, Deftones, that came out a couple years ago. You could tell he's like in the songwriting process more than just Steph and Chino writing everything. And he actually used a really cool six-string Fender bass. And it looks like a guitar because he uses their jet. No, is it a Jazz or a Tele? I forget. But at any rate, it looks like a guitar, but it, like they customly built him 2 6-string basses. It's just badass. So shout out to Sergio. He's the kind of guy, too, like if you watch any interview or whatever, he's genuine. He's as kind as they come. Like he never seems like he's in a bad mood. He's always polite. He's always upbeat. I know he has, I think he just started his own like vegan, like he's really cool with his dietary stuff too. I think he started his own vegan restaurant. You know, I saw it on Instagram, but he also, when they go on tour, when he's touring with the Deftones, like he'll go out of his way to go to whatever vegan records, you know, restaurant it is in the city and take a picture of it and promote it and stuff. And then he did a lot of cool fundraiser stuff for Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when that wasn't, it was like a nasty hurricane.
Went and just wrecked the whole country.
Wrecked the whole thing, yeah. So I don't know if he's Cuban or Puerto Rican, but like he had a lot of cool fundraiser stuff for that. And he was very, you know, adamant online, like, hey, we need some help here. Like,
so when did he get into
Deftones?
No,
this
band.
Quicksand. So yeah, he started with Quicksand.
Okay, sorry.
And then Quicksand started in 95, or stopped in 95. I think they started a tour again, so he joined them on tour.
Yeah.
But they just released this album. It was the last quarter of 2017. And he's awesome. Like, I just like everything about the dude. So what I'm getting at is, like, I knew about him through the Deftones, and I liked what he did, and I'm appreciative of what he did when he rejoined and revitalized them. But then he made me go back and check out Quicksand because I forgot about him. It's been so long. And then they came out with this album. This album's just killer. So yeah, shout out to Sergio. Sergio Vega, he's the man. He's endorsed by like Orange Amps. Like I'm like a nerd about it. Like I'll look at his gear, everything. And he just seems like a really nice guy. So you know.
Future guest.
Future guest. Shout out to Sergio.
Yeah, it's very comfortable in here.
It is. It is. So, yeah, we'd probably have to go see him in Chicago. And here's the thing, too. They're from Long Island, and so is Glassjaw. Like I said, episode 10, I reviewed Glassjaw, and they're on tour together. And they're coming in the summer, and they're going to be at the Concord Music Hall on 7/8/2018. So July 8th. So it's a summer show. I'm definitely going to go to that. Because those two together, it's just going to be badass. Really badass.
There's a lot of good shows coming this summer.
I know, I can't wait.
It's one of the most exciting. Today, the day we're recording, it's beautiful outside. Mm-hmm. I was at work today, and I like went for a walk during my lunch break, and I was walking back into the building, and you could smell summer coming. You could smell spring. You could smell the grass. You smell. I was like, oh, man. And I work, you know, in Chicago, so you get that. You're like, oh, Chicago summer.
Chicago summers are the best.
For music, I don't know if there's a better place.
Concord Music Hall, I think I've been there. I don't know. I think I have. I think I saw Ministry there.
I've been there too, but I can't like visualize it right now. I don't know where it is. I keep mixing it with Congress, which Congress is closed.
Yeah, it's been closed for
a minute. So I can't think of where Concord is.
I think it took over. I think they do a lot of electronic shows there and shit too. So, but yeah, shout out to Quicksand. Everybody, check out Interiors. It's a great album from front to finish. Same with Citizen. Like, these are albums, in my opinion, you could put on, hit play at track one. They go all the way through. It doesn't get old. To Quicksand, too, with the singer again. His hooks are awesome. I love all the choruses. I love the drumming. Everything's really progressive, and, you know, it's a tight album, and the production is sweet. Like you said, it kind of has, like, a old school, I don't know, just the old school warmth to it, right? Like, you mentioned that. Like, you're like, yeah, it's nostalgic. It has, like, even the singer, he sounds like Perry from whatchamacallit a little bit.
Well, you sent me four different bands in the last couple of days.
Okay.
And so I didn't know what to expect. You said, just check these out.
Go ahead.
This is the second one you sent me. And it was a pleasant surprise. I actually enjoyed it. Not that I didn't enjoy the other ones. I'm just saying that, like, this was something familiar when I started listening. Something I didn't hear in a while, like that style. I listen to through your influence, through my brother's influence, through other people. If it's not like I usually lean towards recently, like we make fun of the Dave Matthews Band thing, but I go to like towards bluegrass, acoustic, singer songwriter stuff, or harmonizing, like two or three people harmonizing. That's that, like Tiny Desk kind of stuff, the stuff that shines at Tiny Desk, and just sprinkle in a little bit of hip hop. I've been listening this week like a lot of Run the Jewels. So Quicksand, I haven't heard anything like that in a while, and so it was cool. Like, it actually today, as far as driving to work, sucked, and it did make it better. Like, it was cool. I was like, I like this. I could keep listening to this.
It can get you hype. It's good from front to finish. So check it out. Transition to the next band that I really, really like, and unfortunately they just played last night and I wasn't able to go because it's sold out, but they just dropped a new single. It's a band called Culture Abuse, and the best way I could describe these guys is they're just fun. Everything about them's fun. They're from the West Coast. Like, I've never been to the West Coast, but I can only imagine, like, their music makes me think of like palm trees, pretty women, drinking a lot of beer, you know, skating, surfing, even though I've never surfed in my life, but they just have this really fun element to them. And if you're a fan of the Ramones, Weezer, and the Strokes, I think that they have all of those three elements. You know, they have like the catchiness and the flair of the Ramones, you know, on a punk, you know, because they're punk. They're kind of a pop punk thing, best way I could describe them. But then they have like the playfulness of Weezer and a cool guitar tone, and then the Strokes. I hear the Strokes in them with the vocalist, because this dude has a cool voice. Like, it's pretty OG. It's pretty original. So
where were they at?
They were at Bottom Lounge.
Bottom Lounge. Yeah,
they just played.
That's right.
They it was Culture Abuse, Touche Amore, and Turnstile.
Mm-hmm.
Really good lineup.
Yeah.
And I just kind of slept on it. Like, I just was gonna put it off to the last week or to the last day. Like I did, just total procrastination on my part. And then when I looked it up, sold out.
But
like,
well, when we saw American Nightmare there, and there were plenty of tickets.
See, yeah, I don't know.
So I think it may be that's
a good lineup though. Like, for those three bands, like, I love Touche Amore, love them. Turnstile's all right. You know, they're just a kind of like a jockey hardcore band. They just came out with a new album as well. But those are three pretty big bands, and I could see why it sold out. You know, I mean, that place isn't huge, and these bands aren't huge. But Culture Abuse is one of those groups too. Like, mentioning Kurt Cobain and if there was an MTV or damn a record or not a record, but a radio show that just played anything alternative or something heavy, like they would be on, you know, they're just, they got a really cool, fun element to them. And right. they have like a poppy commercial sense too. They're a fun band.
You said they sound like you think of the West Coast, you think of the beach, you think of like fun surfing, all that stuff. Where are they from?
They're from Cali. They're from the Bay,
from California.
Okay. And that's what I was getting into. Their new single, it's called Calm E, and it says the word Bay, like the sticker and how they're promoting it. And it's a really tight single. Check it out. But they just have like this, I think too, like they're really good. Their album that I really love, everybody's got to check out this album. It's called Peach, and it's amazing. And it's just, like I said, super fun. But the album cover itself, it's a peach.
Oh my.
And it's peach. And then there's a fence, but there's just something about the visual, like their artistic approach to how they throw out their music. Like it's fun and it just seems like sunlight in California.
Yeah, yeah.
You watch their videos, the same thing. Like it's just a lot of fun. So you got to check out Culture Abuse.
Did you
haven't listened to them yet, have you?
No.
All right. But yeah, if you like the Ramones, Weezer and the Strokes, check them out. And I'm pissed that I didn't go to that show. Pissed. It's your fault, Stretton.
Sorry. I don't have any excuse.
No. I just these three albums too, within the last 3 months, like I just, well, Peach by Culture Abuse, like I can't stop listening to that, you know, and same thing with, you know, the other two with Citizen, like this is fun, you know?
Yeah.
Culture Abuse is fun. Quicksand is more in between, but I don't know. It's just, it's in the middle, but they're all easy, like they're easy listening.
Yeah.
So if you like rock and roll, you got to check out these three albums, and you definitely got to check out Culture Abuse. Like even their older albums, they're decent. It's not bad, but Peach is where it's at.
Yeah.
So if you like the Ramones, who doesn't like the Ramones? Who doesn't like Weezer? Seriously.
I don't know.
Everybody likes Weezer.
Everyone. I went through an obsessive Weezer phase.
Right.
The album that nobody listened to, the one that wasn't colored, where they had like Pink Triangle and songs like
Pinkerton?
That. Pinkerton, yeah.
Pinkerton's a great album.
I was obsessed with that album.
Yeah. That's a great album.
Yeah.
Tired of Sex. I love that song.
One of the first or the second singles that was on MTV, When I'm a Lot Like You is one of the lyrics, is one of the most romantic songs in the world to me. And it's kind of ridiculous. It's just a dude that's like, it's about a dude that's too shy to actually try to speak to a girl, almost knowing for sure that they would actually get along really well and connect, but he's too chicken to like pull the trigger. And I might have been like massively projecting at the time, but I really, really dug that song.
I never got to see them live. That's one I have to. I have to see Weezer. I have to see like Metallica, like just some of these.
I haven't seen Metallica either.
Staple
really
bands.
Want to. Yeah.
The Culture Abuse song, they have really cool videos. I think people forget to watch videos, but they're with Epitaph Records as well. So that's pretty big label. But the song's called So Busted, and that shows their personality. It, like, especially the singer, you know, he's just got a genuine smile. He's got a genuine voice. Everything about the dude doesn't seem fake. It seems pretty honest. And who doesn't like to listen to music that's fun?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to. So.
Especially now that we're leaving winter and all that.
Yeah.
Dark, heavy poo-poo.
I was listening to them like all winter just so I felt like it was summer and like having fun. Like, yeah, I'll pretend that the sun's out even though it's been like 30 degrees and damp all winter.
Soggy and cold.
And miserable. All right, but yeah, check out Culture Abuse. They're awesome. I do have some honorable mentions too for heavier music. The first band is they're not old school, but they have an old school screamo scram sound, which is a total genre that I forgot about. And I stumbled across them. They're called Wrist Meat Razor. Mm. So check them out. Talking about tapes and you being a hipster, Stretton. I bought both of their tapes. So the one's called I Talk to God and the other one's called But the Sky is Empty.
When did you buy these?
Recently.
Huh.
Like this stuff just came out. Like they're on Spotify.
You're the hipster, bro.
I am the hipster, bro. But yeah, check out Wrist Meat Razor. They're just emotional.
You mentioned them before.
Have I?
I think just maybe through conversation, but I thought on one of these shows that you mentioned them.
Yeah, it's not. Now, this is something that's not for everyone, but I enjoy it. It reminds me of like old school Orchid, a screamo band I used to listen to years ago. Page 99, they were like the first, like OG screamo stuff, not like commercial with that name, or like original hardcore emo. Like, it's just chaotic music, chaotic screams. Yeah, it's not something you listen to on your first date, you know.
Not for grandma.
Another one, this album's actually terrifying. It's by a band called Portal. They're from Australia, and the album's called Ion. But this is some good extreme death metal that I haven't heard. I haven't heard like extreme death metal like this in a long time. Early Cryptopsy vibe. They're mixing a lot of different genres here. There's some cool grinds with the drums. The guitars are super, super slick, like black metal, like high E sounding, crazy trim picking. And then the vocals, it's like, you know, your death metal Cookie Monster type shit, but it's a little bit more in the background, and they're a force. They sound like a tornado. I don't know, like just like a tornado filled with sewage and diarrhea and baby diapers and shit. Like they're brutal. So if you like some brutal death metal, like complex, you know, technical shit too, like check out Portal Ion. It's a good album. It's scary.
I miss the Joeisms.
It's scary.
A tornado.
It's scary.
They cut through a dumpster filled with baby diapers.
Something, yeah. Just nasty shit. American Nightmare. We went to go see them at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Self-titled. It's their first album in a while. I like it. I thought it could have been a little bit longer, but check out American Nightmare. Check out their old stuff. Definitely check this album out. Did you like it? I know you know that a little bit.
Okay. I liked it.
Okay.
I feel like that kind of music has been around for me forever, but nothing ever stuck. I never like sought out a band or went to a show or anything like that. So when you took me to the one and listened to them, I like it. Okay. I'm the new person.
New kid on.
And they almost made me Instagram famous.
They did. Yeah, that's right. You're on their Instagram page.
For that concert,
for the Chicago show. Shretton's like in the middle of the mosh pit just hanging out.
I was like a silhouette of a guy that was obviously lost. Like, how did he get? He doesn't know how he got in here.
Or what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, and but I'm just looking.
Nobody messed with you. I mean, you're a bigger guy. Like nobody.
I got hit a couple times, I got hit a couple times. We talked about it already on a quick episode that we talked about it. But I was trying to be like a gentleman at one point. I don't tell stories quick, but I'll try to be quick. Yeah, I tried to block any like potential full speed running mosh guys that were hitting everybody. All I did was
take the
twice,
blows.
I wanted to take the blows, but twice I got hit, and I literally, because of the momentum of that person, I couldn't stop myself. My feet were too close together. That I smashed this girl's foot twice that was standing next to me, and then after that, I was like, "No, man, I'm just gonna take a couple steps forward," and then it was fine. I got caught off guard once, but that's my fault. So I got hit in the ribs and it was fine.
You have to be observant.
I do, but what I did realize, because I'm going to go to a show like that again. Don't know if it's my thing. Doesn't matter. I'm going to go again. I'm going front row. I'm not messing around. I'm not being afraid. I didn't see one person get hit from behind. Like nobody comes running from the back of the the viewing area and runs to the front of the stage like with their knee up jumping in the air. Nobody does that. Everybody's coming like in front of you or to your side. Nobody's like cheap shotting you in your kidneys and
poo poo.
So I'm going straight to the front where that full energy is. And if somebody drops on my head, that's fine. At least I'll see him coming.
All right.
But I'm not doing it like I did it before. It was too cautious.
We'll go to Quicksand and Glass Jaw. You'll go to that. That should be really cool. Well, it's going to be cool.
But... Well, now I've talked
poo poo.
So people are going to seek me out.
No, I didn't like that at those kind of. I
always wear my full name on my shirts. So they'll know it's me.
Sretton Jovanovic, don't fuck with me.
Yeah. They'll be like, we're going to hit him. Big
Make love.
Oof.
Here's another honorable mention. Pianos Become the Teeth. Wait for Love. I love these guys. They're from Baltimore. Lack Long After is a great song. Keep You was their second album. This is one of those things, too. Like I said, third. I guess it's not technically their third. They had some stuff before that. But it was supposed to be like a transitional album. Like, what direction are they going to go? They were like an emotional screamo band. Then they went into like a kind of chilled out indie vibe. A lot of their lyrics and everything had to deal with death. And that's kind of how I used it for grieving in my past, you know? Like, so with this album, it just seemed like, I don't know. I don't know where their influences were coming from. Like, it just seemed like dad rock a little bit.
Ooh.
No disrespect to the dads out there, but it seemed really safe.
Yeah.
It seemed really just dadish.
Yeah.
You know?
Some people like that too.
Some people do. Like, I don't, you know, like from being, I guess what I'm getting at is like they were just so extreme on just like coping with a loved one that's dying, and then the, you know, then it happens. Like, if you really get into it, like, you know, even the vocals, the song structure, the drumming, everything, and then Keep You, the next album, like, that was kind of like grieving with things like after the fact, you know, right. Like had like a springtime vibe, like, you know, you're coming into your own after the grieving process. Because a lot of it had to do with Kyle's dad. He had some kind of terminal illness and he passed away. Mm-hmm. And then with this, I was really curious to see where they were going to go. Are they going to go more to like the emotional stuff? And it seems mature. It's not bad, but it's missing something. There's some really good tracks on here, but it's missing a little something. But everybody should definitely check out Pianos Become the Teeth if you haven't. Good stuff. This album's not bad. I'll give it like
great band name.
6.5. You like that name?
I do. What I expected of the sound versus the band name, I just expected something totally different. Something a little crazier, I guess.
Their earlier stuff was a little hectic, yeah. A little chaotic. So. Like I said, they're just mature, and I think they're all married and, you know, all that good stuff. Like I said,
arthritis,
they all got haircuts.
Yeah.
They all go to bed at a respectable time. You know, shit like that. But at any rate, check out Pianos. And definitely an honorable mention to Handsome Prick. Sretton, how the hell do you say that album name?
Anonymityville.
Thank you.
I've been practicing.
If you're looking for some really good brutal death metal, death grind, whatever you want to call it, check it out. Their personality is within the music too. The song structures are a little bit different. I know Brad writes all the music. And he does a lot of cool mixing and matching with, you know, rockabilly, rock and roll, punk. Like, he throws in all of his, I mean, even like old school cock rock, you know, like ballady, you know,
yeah.
Shit like that. So personality shines in that album. You like that album, right?
I love the poo-poo.
Okay.
I've never, like, some of it is just, like, if you have your grandma listen to it, she'll be like, why are they so angry? Mm-hmm. It is not, something about it immediately makes me smile. Split second, any song, press play, I'm smiling right away. The vocals, the way they play, something about it is like pure enjoyment for me. I don't know what they feel like when they're singing it, because
they always look miserable when they're done with each song because they put so much into it. And it's so fast.
It's intense.
Wallace is screaming and poor Brad's just been grinding like that for like 15 plus years. Like, it's intense. It's a workout. Just a ton of energy.
I know that when I first met Wallace, you introduced me to Wallace. And he told me about one of their songs is literally like, I don't know what he said, like a minute long.
I think it's in the Guinness Book of World Records, like shortest song ever.
Yeah.
Something like that. And, or maybe that was the decrypt. That was the decrypt.
But you know what? For 59 seconds, it's pretty crazy.
Crazy.
I don't have one of those Joe-isms, but it's intense.
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe Handsome Prick. It's like a death. They're death grind. It's good stuff. Great production.
Yeah.
Like I said, their personality shines through it. Like, I know their humor, so maybe I pick up on it a little bit more. But if you're into some brutal stuff, you got to check it out. But yeah, man, we have a friend with us too here tonight. He's been watching us. He's into filming. He's into, I guess, editing. What's the other word?
All forms of film production.
All forms. Media production. And he's a music dude. What's up, Josh? You gonna jump on in, man? Come on, dude. I'm putting you on the spot.
Come on. He's gonna come in. This is gonna be like a wrestling thing. We'll see. Right. We're also, while we're recording this, we're actually testing some video.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a little awkward, especially me trying to cut between this. And so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we met Josh. You met Josh about a month ago.
About a month ago through Michael.
Into the bookstore and just came to hang out. I mean, he'll probably tell us what brought him to the doors of the Green Door.
Yeah. But yeah, Josh, back to you. What got you into film and wanting to film?
Yeah, so that's kind of a new thing that I've been doing. I've been passionate about it since I was a kid, but it's just really been recently, like the same time you guys sounded like you got started with your stuff was the same time I was rediscovering filmmaking. And this is just in terms of like getting on sets and things like that. But previous to that, I've always been a creative person, so that's why.
You play guitar too? I know you play music. We talk music.
Yeah, so I've been writing music since I was 12 years old, but I've been just a creative person my whole life, trying to get into some video stuff now that's new. But, you know, I've been writing, and then I work with a band. I do some social media managing, consulting, and then when we go to shows, I'm just that guy, you know, unpacking the drums.
Cool.
Cool. So I get around. I've met a lot of cool people. But yeah, I'd like to have those guys on this show. Oh, we were talking about that.
Yeah, plug them, man. Plug your boys.
For sure, yeah. I know the drummer and the bass player for sure want to come on.
What's their name? What's the band name?
The band is Detour North. Those are the guys that I'm always with. I'm the roadie.
You're the roadie.
I'm just
that
guy.
Helps out. Did you do their video too for them? Didn't you help out with that?
Yeah, so, well... their lead singer directed all their music videos, and that's actually how I got into the stuff I'm into now, because I was just, again, like in the same capacity that I was kind of helping the band out, just kind of showing up and just doing whatever. I showed up to them shooting the music video. I was just, you know, PA, did whatever, just kind of whatever they needed. And then Emmanuel, the lead singer, kind of told me about some other projects he was doing. Kept bringing me on. I ended up going on to produce the last two that he did. He continues to direct them and film them, and he's just incredible and talented as far as filmmaking goes. But yeah, so that's really what got me into where I'm at now. And I'm over here at the Green Door hoping to do some cool projects with you guys as far as the video stuff.
For sure. Stretton knows a little bit about the video stuff.
Got him on two different screens now.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
It's dark over where he's at. He doesn't have an iPad or any kind of lamps or anything. So
yeah.
To illuminate
I got
his
two
face.
Different blurry angles of him.
Yeah, I came in to just see what you guys do, and Stretton's over here. He's got like a he's got like six webcams in here.
Feel
you guys
famous
got it going on.
It's four right now. It's so hot in here right now.
It is. Three dudes in a small room. But yeah, as far as rock, you know, we were talking about rock bands tonight. Are there any rock bands that you grew up with that you really liked or that you still listen to, or are you into rock?
Yeah, man. Rock is really my favorite genre, especially alternative rock. Like alternative and pop punk were the genres that I found, and it was like, oh, I found this. Like, this is my music. Like, nobody really put me onto it. Like, I just kind of happened across it.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to like Christian music, so it was like gospel. But there was this, there was also this band, DC Talk.
Oh God!
Yeah. Oh, you okay?
No, we can't talk about them out here. But go ahead. No, I'm just busting your balls.
No,
DC
for sure.
Talk. Oh man,
dude, throwback for sure. but yeah, I like so I listened to them growing up.
They were like the Christian NSYNC.
Yeah, essentially.
But they would
have
do.
You,
like,
but have you listened to Jesus Freak all the way through?
It's pretty bad, man.
Oh, man. That's
like the video. Like, I mean, how old is that? Is that like late 90s, like, early 2000s?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Those videos are pretty funny.
The videos are bad. Yeah. Okay. Jesus Freak, though, that album, it's like they're not a band. They were just the vocalists, but the production they had on there was actually really, really good. And that's one of the ones that kind of got me in the rock direction. And then I kind of went on from there to find bands like Switchfoot. And then once I found Switchfoot, that was like my alternative debut as far as, you know, getting into bands like that. And then I was into All American Rejects and Anne Berlin, bands like that. Really big on pop punk, MXPX, Simple Plan. Love those bands growing up, and those like will always be my favorite genres. And now that I'm older and I'm like just into everything, just every type of music. It's just a hodgepodge and a mess of things.
Yeah. But, oh, like, yeah, you could, with the internet, you could find whatever you want, whenever you want.
Oh, yeah.
You want.
Yeah. You guys are talking about, like, as far as rock bands, like, being really big, I was thinking about the 1975, and I really like how, like, synth pop is a thing, because it's bringing back a lot of elements from the 80s, but mm-hmm. the 1975 is, like, they're really big.
Yeah, they are big.
Yeah.
They're not bad. They're not bad at all. I forgot about them. Good call. But yeah, you got to check out Culture Abuse if you like pop punk.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I've never gotten into their stuff, but I'm definitely going to go listen to that.
Check them out. Like I said, Quicksand, some good alternative. Like, if that's the genres you like, I hit on those tonight. Yeah, dude, thanks for coming out. You know, maybe you can do some love songs on your acoustic, you know.
Maybe.
I know you do some acoustic jams, right?
Yeah, maybe. One day I'll come back on and do a little sesh for you guys.
Sweet. One other thing. Well, a couple things. Luke Greener, the drummer for Positive Vibe Technician, they are playing and performing at Franklin House on April 27th. So check that out. And then April 28th, they're playing at Fittigan's Pub in Dyer. So go and check out Positive Vibe Technicians.
Do it.
Do it now. So I had to plug those guys. That was a good episode. That was a lot of fun. And they're a really good band. They cover like over, I don't know, 300 songs, something crazy. You remember?
Maniacs.
They are Maniacs. So
that's a really cool name. I remember you
talking
about
Positive Vibe Technicians.
Them,
yeah. They're good, man. They're really good. So you got to go check them out. Once again, look for Musically Meditated on all podcast formats. Please subscribe. Show everybody. Tell everybody that you think would like it. And subscribe. Subscribe, subscribe. All day. All night. All
right, oh, in the future on YouTube, look to see
our beautiful faces.
Our beautiful faces. And we'll only have good looking people on camera. We got a bunch of luchador masks for the ugly people.
For you fuglies out there. Yeah. For all you fuglies.
Yeah, if you're not having a confident day, you're wearing that mask.
We're gonna have to do some more cardio. I'm gonna have to do more cardio if we're gonna be on film.
Just bring out cardio. That jawline.
Yeah, bring out that jawline, that six pack, you know, yeah. That's hiding that winter weight.
It's in there.
I gotta shed that winter weight.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, everybody, please subscribe. Thanks for checking us out. Have a good day. Have a good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh yeah, and we're gonna have a really cool guest. We're gonna have a really cool guest next week.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that
a
threat?
It's not a threat, but it's. I'm looking forward to it because it's a band I really like, a really original. So it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
We got some good things in line. So check out next week as well. Adios. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right. I'm musically meditated.
Producer my ass over there.